We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers.
If you want to make a young man happy one more time, I sure like to spend the night with you. And she said, stranger,
shut up the light.
Was a portion of Stranger, a number four hit on the country chart from the year 1976. The record label identifies the artist as Johnny Duncan. That begs a couple of questions. Who was that mystery lady? And how does that lady feel about not getting credit on the label? Well, I'm going to answer the first question. I'm going to be introducing that lady in a few seconds, who wasn't really a mystery lady. I'm going to ask her the second question about her being anonymous. I'm Ronnie Allen, and today's guest is a recording artist who reportedly holds the record for most studio sessions throughout a career. Her voice can be heard on a multitude of commercials, and this is all apart from her own solo career, which includes 16 national top 10 country hits, seven of which made number one. She's been country music's female vocalist of the year on several occasions, and she has a star on the Country Music Hall of Fame's Walk of Stars. I am so pleased to introduce a recording artist who deserves this big drum roll. Miss Janie Fricke. Janie, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you today, Ronnie. Thank you.
You were born in Indiana.
We had a little farm near the northern part of the state. It was good corn country, good farming country, and lots of great memories from those years.
You came from a musical family?
Right. They just enjoyed music, played it all the time in the house, and it just kind of filtered on into my life and my future, and I had no idea that I'd become a professional musician because they were not professional, but we just loved music.
When you say musician, you play instruments as well as sing?
Yes, I play guitar in my shows, and I also know a little bit of piano. My mother was a very good pianist, and Dad was a guitar player.
You attended University of Indiana, is that what it's called?
It was IU, yeah, Indiana University.
Okay, Indiana University, and you got a degree there.
Right, I decided to major in elementary education, so my plan was to become a school teacher.
But
that plan didn't exactly follow through.
No, it didn't. Somewhere around that time, you saw an audition for Jingle Singers.
Yeah, I heard about this opportunity, and I actually went to the place in Memphis, Tennessee, and I auditioned, and I did get the job. That was my first experience being in the studio recording.
You've done jingles for, among others, United Airlines, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Red Lobster, Pizza Hut, and others.
That's right, absolutely. It was a very busy time for me, and it opened up doors to meet a lot of people in the advertising agencies. Then later on, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where a lot of the major commercials were cut. The jingle world, all the major commercials are cut in New York and L.A., but they were coming to Nashville, too.
Once you got to Nashville, I guess you started doing backup vocals for many hit recording acts.
Yes, yes. It was a great experience because I met a vocal group leader. She had a group of four singers, two men, two women, and she had a good reputation, so all the producers would call her to ask her to bring in the vocal group to add harmonies onto the recordings. And so we would go in the studio, it'd all be live works, and we would get to work with the major artist because she knew all the producers. We started out doing things with Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner when they were still duetting. Ronnie Millsap, Loretta Lynn, Conway Twitty, and many, many more.
How about Barbara Mandrell, Eddie Rabbit?
Yes, those are connected.
I got a list here.
It went on and on for 2 years, actually. We were doing many sessions every day, so we were in full swing, recording sessions and doing harmonies in the studio with the artists. And I don't know if that still goes on today. It probably does not, because today is a different world of recording. But at that time, it was so much fun because it was a kind of a phenomenon. And I wrote everything down in a little black book. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that little black book is on display at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And it's open to a page where I did 4 sessions in one day, which included people like Barbara Mandrell. And I can't remember who all was on there. Probably Dottie West or several more. We would just run from studio to studio.
Well, that's fantastic. And don't worry about remembering everything. There's not going to be a surprise quiz, I promise.
Good, thank you.
We're going to talk about a gentleman right now by the name of Johnny Duncan, who is very, very special to you.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how it came about that you found out that you were going to... Let's talk about a song called Joe and the Cowboy, which was actually, I believe, the first Johnny Duncan record that you were on.
Yes. Boy, you do your history if you know that.
I'm trying.
Because a lot of people do not realize that. That session was produced by Larry Gatlin.
Yes.
And Larry Gatlin knew about our vocal group, so he invited us to come in and do the harmonies for Johnny Duncan. And that was the first single that was put out, Joe and the Cowboy.
Life can be great on the interstate when you're riding across Arkansas. Well, I won't forget the day I met the girl from the Wichita. Making my way through Little Rock, I saw a thumb in me. I pulled over to let her get in and saw heaven in faded jeans. Some strawberry hill. I said, Joe, I'm Texas bound, and a big eye said, I will. Mile after mile on through the night, something good was happening to me. Just me and Joe and the Bill Mack show. Tell me, how good can life be?
Wild as a raging river is she. Holds my heart in her hand. Sweet country girl, I'd give the world just to be your full-time man. Wild as a raging river is she. Joe holds my heart in her hand. Sweet country girl, I'd give the world just to be your full-time man.
That was Joe and the Cowboy, Johnny Duncan, and a mystery lady. That got to number 26 on the country chart.
And then following that was Stranger, where I sang, Shut out the light and leave me.
Oh, I love it when a recording artist does a portion of their hit just for me.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so wonderful, Janie. I appreciate it. Stranger was a song written by a gentleman who did pretty well in the music business. His name, Chris Christopherson.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Fabulous. But I have a question now. If you looked very carefully, you still wouldn't see the name Janie Fricke on the label. Like these two records, Joe and the Cowboy and Stranger, it just said Johnny Duncan.
That's correct. And I told them to leave my name off. I did not want it put on there.
Why?
Because I was afraid that that would hurt my work as a studio singer, and I did not want any recognition as a soloist or a duet person. That's how protective I was being.
Wow.
Of my status. And so I said, no, do not put my name on there. I almost had to fight with them. So they left it off, and then a few records after that, they started putting my name on, whether I liked it or not.
Yeah, like Come a Little Bit Closer, I think, was an example
yes,
of that
it
one.
It ended up on the 45.
This is very interesting, because a lot of people have been saying, gee, she got the short shift, is that the word?
Yeah.
She
yeah.
got cheated. Her name wasn't
yeah.
on there. This was your choice.
That was my choice. That's odd, because most people would jump at the fact, oh, boy, get my name on there and let everybody see who I am. But I was shy, and I was the opposite. I did not want to pursue stardom. I did not even want to become a recording artist. I was just doing harmony and step out. They call them step out lines. And I was just doing step out lines on people's records all the time.
The step out line, were you actually doing sentences?
You're stepping out from the vocal group and you're doing your own solo line.
Oh, okay. I just learned
something. Of course, you get paid a little extra money for doing that, too. You're singing a step out solo line.
So you had step out lines, obviously, in Joe and the Cowboy. I mean, you
right.
had your own little part in there. And, of course, you had the very well-known line in Stranger.
Right.
I'm going to listen to Stranger right now. This is Johnny Duncan and blank.
Maybe she was smiling in the mirror. Maybe I was too, 'cause I was stoned, singing every sad song on the jukebox one more time. Honey, they were hitting close to home. And I said, maybe this will make you think I'm crazy. Honey, don't feel lonesome if you do. If you want to make a young man happy one more time, I sure like to spend the night with you.
Stranger. And then in 1976, He and You, once again with no label credit, got your first number one hit, which was called Thinking of a Rendezvous, written by Sonny Throckmorton and Bobby Braddock, two heavyweight songwriters.
Yes.
Anything you could tell me about Thinking of a Rendezvous?
It followed those others. There were several of them in that same feel and mode of writing, the same technique of writing. They were on a roll there. The writers always do that. They get into a groove and they just keep it going, you know.
Speaking of the groove, here is a little bit of Thinking of a Rendezvous.
I said hello. My, it's been such a long time. You said yes, it has. It's been a year or more. Then you smile and ask about my wife and family. I said Johnny's 6 and Judy's almost 4. But I was thinking how I'd love to get you alone for 1 hour down at the family inn like we used to do. We kept talking like nothing ever happened. But I was making small talk, thinking of a rendezvous.
Thinking of a Rendezvous hit number one in 1976, and the next recording was It Couldn't Have Been Any Better. Well, you can't get better than number one, right?
Oh, you know, I was just amazed that the songs kept coming, and they kept asking me to do these songs with Johnny Duncan.
Yeah.
It was quite a thrill. I was having a wonderful time. His voice is like melted butter. It's
That's
just a very smooth-sounding voice.
Just sat there and she brushed her hair. Lord, it sure was dark and long. I got up and drank a half-warm beer. Found my boots and put them on. Was not sure where she stood with me as she straightened out her clothes. So I kissed her warm red lips again, and I whispered soft and low, baby. It couldn't have been any better. It couldn't have been any sweeter. We couldn't have climbed any higher if we'd been to the top of the world. We couldn't have got any closer. We couldn't have gone any farther. It couldn't have been any better. And you're my best friend's girl. With a tender look she said goodnight, and I turned to walk away. Just before I closed that door and left, I could hear her softly say, baby, it could.
It couldn't have been any better. It couldn't have been any sweeter.
you ever notice that Tommy Overstreet had a record called That's When My Woman Begins, which had almost the same tune? Really?
Yes. No.
Different songwriter.
In fact, I'll prove it right now.
It couldn't have been any better. It couldn't have been any sweeter. We couldn't have climbed any higher if we'd been to the top of the world. Now ain't she a picture of sunshine, fresh as a breeze in the air, right from her little girl dimples to the ribbons of pink in her hair. We couldn't have got any closer. We couldn't have gone any farther. That's when my little girl pauses, and that's when my woman begins.
Almost the same tune, but yours came out first, written by Ray Griff, incidentally, a great country artist as well, great songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote It Couldn't Have Been Any Better. I love the song. One thing I do want to say, even though you were anonymous, you really weren't. I remember Don Bowman on American Country Countdown. I used to work for that show, by the way, along with American Top 40 with Casey Kasem. And Don Bowman revealed that the backup singer on these records was a lady named Janie Fricke. It's kind of like an open secret.
Oh, it was. The press and the PR people called me the mystery voice. And so then finally, when they did come out with the name, and then I started my own records and started getting notoriety, they called me the reluctant superstar.
Well, you may have been the mystery voice, but let me tell you something. Most people, it seems, around that time had solved the mystery. They knew who you were privately.
Yeah.
Johnny sadly passed away a few years ago from a heart attack. There's at least one or two YouTube videos of you performing with him.
Well, I live in the area, so I attended the funeral, and it was a very sad day. But it was nice to see his family and his daughters and all the people he had talked about in his life. He had a wonderful life, a very blessed life, and we're all fortunate to have known Johnny Duncan.
In 1978, you did a record with Charlie Rich, and you got label credit. It said, with Janie Fricke. Charlie wrote the song himself. What can you say about On My Knees?
It was wonderful because that was the time when people would invite me to come in the studio to do step-out solo lines on their project. And they already had heard about me doing step-out solo lines with maybe Vern Gosden or Mo Bandy or somebody else, because I was doing duets with a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, Charlie's producer, Billy Sherrill at Columbia Records, both asked me to come in. And I remember I rushed over there from another session at another studio. And then later on, Billy Sherrill produced my first two albums. So it kind of all tied in together, and I became an artist on that label, Columbia Records. But
wow,
it was wonderful working with Billy and Charlie in the studio. Just great memories.
Here's that record from 1978. It made number one. Charlie Rich with Janie Fricke, On My Knees.
On my knees, I ask you please, honey, let me love you, let me kiss you like I used to. When we meet on the street, I wanna love you, I wanna kiss you like I used to. Well, you used to be my baby, and I don't mean baby. I need you to be my baby now. Honey, don't you hear me calling? Please help me, I'm falling. Can't we work the whole thing out somehow? Somehow, every day that you're away, I wanna love you, I wanna kiss you like I used to.
On your knees, you've asked me, please, if you can love me, if you can kiss me like you used to. Next time we meet on the street, honey, you can love me, you can kiss me like you used to.
Well, you used to be my baby, and I don't mean baby. I need you to be my baby now. Honey, don't you hear me calling? Please help me, I'm falling. Can't we work the whole thing out somehow? Somehow, on my knees, I ask you, please, honey, let me love you, let me kiss you, let me love you, let me kiss you like I used to.
Next time we meet
to move on right now to the Janie Fricke solo career, the biggest hit to start. It wasn't a number one hit, but got to number two, one of my personal favorites, Down to My Last Broken Heart, written by Chick Raines. Anything about that particular one?
I had several producers. The first one was Billy Sherrill. The second one, I think, was Jim Ed Norman, and that's when those songs started, The one you just mentioned. And actually, my first number one happened, I think, during that time period with Jim Ed Norman. I think Ricky Skaggs had just come to town. He was new on the scene, and a producer wanted him to sing harmony with me on that record. So he came in the studio, and he did his wonderful voice harmony on there, and he was not discovered at that point. So that was very special.
Was Down to My Last Broken Heart and got to number two. Your first number one hit as a solo artist came not too long after, a song written by Deborah Allen and Bruce Chanel. Remember, Hey, Baby! And Kieran Kane, Don't Worry About Me, Baby, from 1982.
Big record, and that was when I was on tour with the group Alabama.
Oh.
And I toured with them for 2.5 years.
I've heard of them. They did reasonably well.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Don't Worry About Me, Baby, first number one hit from the year 1982. This is Janie Fricke.
There's no way to know how this is all gonna end. We fell in love once, we could fall again. It makes no difference how it all works out. This night with you is all I'm thinking about. And don't worry about me, baby, I'll be alright. Don't worry about me, baby, just love me tonight. Don't be afraid that you might make me cry. Don't worry about leaving or telling me lies. How can I make you understand? If I can't have it all, I'll take all I can. And don't worry about me, baby.
Your first number one hit, Don't Worry About Me, Baby, and you didn't have to worry about getting another number one hit. Also 1982, your next number one hit, written by Mark Gray and Les Taylor, and somebody named Shauna Harrington Burkhart. I did very copious research, as you can see.
You certainly did.
It ain't easy being easy.
These songs just stand out because they're so unusual and so well written, and I can't even imagine being a songwriter like that. What a great talent that is to be able to write a song like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was fortunate. My producers were finding the best writers in town, and that one was produced by Bob Montgomery, and we do it at every show that we do, and the people just love it. They remember those songs from that era.
You love me again, but it might take me a little while. I know you'll be holding me tight. You know when the moment is right. When I was broken in two, it was all because of you. But baby, I need it tonight. Away.
Number one hit from 1982. 1983, and I remember I was a disc jockey at WTTM in Trenton playing country music, and the music used to be on carts. Remember the cartridges that people put into the machines? And the,
yes.
And I said, oh, there's a new Janie Fricke record out, and it's called He's a Heartache, Looking for a Place to Happen, and I had not heard it. I heard it with my listeners for the first time. I put the cart in the machine, and the first thing I'm saying is, that can't be Janie. Janie does all these ballads and these slow songs, and He's a Heartache was so different. And by the way, I want to mention a couple of things about He's a Heartache, and then I'll let you get a word in edgewise. Jeff Silber and Larry Henley were the writers of that song. Larry Henley was the lead singer of the New Beats, who did Bread and Butter. And you are on a YouTube video, and this is what you said about He's a Heartache before you performed it. It was one of those tunes that was voted for the truck driving song of the year.
He's yes.
What does that have to do with truck driving?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Well, you said it.
I know, but I don't know where that information came from. I was told it was voted the number one top truck driver song of the year.
Because I know, that's what I
said. He's saying, well, it's so up-tempo and so peppy, it got them down the highway between truck stop to truck stop. It's like a cup of coffee. You listen to He's a Heartache and you drive a little faster.
That's the point. That's the problem. So you were probably responsible for some of these truck drivers getting tickets. How do you feel about that, Janie?
I didn't think about that, you know?
See, I had to bring it up. Okay, we're going to listen to it right now. One of my favorites, He's a Heartache, Looking for a Place to Happen.
But you can't deny how good he looks. Couldn't find another on the cover of a book to read me. Well, I've almost loved him once or twice. But don't be fooled by his innocent smile. Clever as the devil and just as wild and crazy. But a little crazy kind of night.
Temporary satisfaction if you try to hold on to it.
I love that record. He's a heartache looking for a place to happen. I must tell my listeners now, you ain't heard the last of that one. Hint, hint. Janie gonna play just a portion of your next number one hit. It was also a number 21 hit on the pop chart for an artist named Sammy Joe. The title is Tell Me a Lie. Nice little portion of Tell Me a Lie, another number one hit. Your next two number one hits were Let's Stop Talking About It and Your Heart's Not In It. I'm going to play those two in their entirety after the show as bonus tracks. We're still in 1984, and while you were having all of these huge hits on your own, you also recorded a duet with Merle Haggard, and it went to number one. The song was called A Place to Fall Apart. That song was written by Murrow along with Willie Nelson and Freddie Powers.
It's such a wonderful record. We have put it in our show now as a tribute to the memory of Merle Haggard. And also I had a chance to work with Merle on several shows. One of his last live DVDs was done here in Fort Worth at Billy Bob's, and I got up on stage and sang it with Merle, and it's just a great record.
I'll probably never see you eye to eye again. This letter's meant to be my last farewell. But you need to understand I'm nearly crazy. You need to know my life has gone to hell. Ride me back and tell me why it ended. Send a letter that I can show my heart. I'll be somewhere between I love you and what you're feeling now. Looking for a place to fall apart. Looking for a place to fall apart. Trying to find a place that I can leave my heart. I need to be somewhere hiding when I feel the teardrops start. Looking for a place to fall apart. I can't seem to justify you're leaving me. I'm bewildered as to how it all came down. I thought everything was fine till your phone called. The call that turned my world around. Send me word and tell me why it ended. need some final proof to show my heart. I'll be somewhere between I love you and what you're feeling now. Looking for a place to fall apart. Looking for a place to fall apart. Looking for a place to fall apart. Trying to find a place that I can leave my heart. I need to be somewhere hiding when I feel the teardrops start.
Your last number one hit as a solo artist was Always Have, Always Will. And I personally always thought it really didn't sound like a country song to me. It sounded more like a torch song.
It does.
So different.
So different. It's a beautiful song. It's a well-written song. And the thought that went into that song, the lyrics, is the catchy part, I think. That's what makes a song a great song and a memorable one. And I have a lot of people request for me to sing that in our show. It's been a favorite for a long time, many years.
Songwriter was Johnny Mears from 1986. Janie Fricke, Always Have, Always Will.
Seems funny, I remember your number after all this time. And I know that it's late, and I hope that I'm not out of line. But for some crazy reason, I've been thinking about you all. You know that it's just my heart.
Janie Fricky, and always have, always will. Every so often I get tongue-tied. Oh, what the heck, I'm going to leave it in the show. I'm going to talk about some of your awards. 1982 CMA Female Vocalist of the Year. Now, that was pretty good. 1982 was a pretty good year. But 1983, yeah. I mean, people, you've heard of the year of the cat, the year of the dog, the year of the tiger. 1983 was the year of the Janie, because you were CMA, Female Vocalist of the Year, ACM, Female Vocalist of the Year, Billboard Magazine's Top Country Female Vocalist, Cashbox Magazine's Top Country Female Vocalist, Music City News, Country's Female Vocalist of the Year. 1983 was a pretty decent year for you.
Oh, it was.
That was your year. Wow.
That was during the time I was on the road with the group Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And so their press conferences were huge, as you can imagine. So the press that was coming out, before we did a show, we would go in and sit, and all the reporters would be just, you know, blasting away with questions. And so the news was out there. It was covering the world. That was a wonderful, wonderful time.
Now, skipping forward to the 90s, you were a regular on the Statler Brothers TV show.
Yes. We'd worked on that for maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
3 years, I can't remember how many years, but it was great because their musical director was a wonderful arranger, Bill Walker, I think was his name. He would bring in all these great songs like show tunes and things from the pop world, you know, Tony Bennett type songs, just all kinds of great songs that we would work up and sing, and we would practice them with the orchestra. It was just great working those shows with the Statler Brothers.
I got to be honest, I used to watch the Statler Brothers show every week, and one of the main reasons why I watched it is I wanted to see you performing.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm saying all the right things, but it's absolutely true. I want to talk about one more thing before we say our goodbyes, and that is, I believe it was in 2012, was your most recent album, which is called Countryside of Bluegrass. My understanding is you actually took some of your hits and you put a bluegrass spin to them, is that correct?
Yes, I did. I got a phone call from a guy who was a top bluegrass producer. It was actually a call from the record label, and they wanted to create a series of bluegrass albums. So they wanted me to be one of the artists, and they put me with one of the best producers ever, Bill Vorndick. He gathered his great musicians together in Nashville that were the top super bluegrass pickers, and we went in and we recorded, I think it was 10 of my songs that were hit songs, and we did them bluegrass style, so it was a real turnaround for me.
I found Wood Songs, it's on YouTube, Wood Songs, you did a live performance, He's a Heartache, which was right after the album came out, and you were working with the Roys and the Matt Flinner Trio.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still performing?
Oh, yes, we are. The booking agent is called Third Coast Talent, and they book us on shows all over the country. And so our year is just now starting up. We had a great year last year. We travel all around.
You're not laying back. You're not sitting on your laurels, so to speak.
That's right. Still at it and very fortunate, thankful to be able to do that.
Janie, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this. I know your schedule is very busy. I want to wish you continued success, health, happiness.
Thank you for your time and interest in traditional country music. I'm very proud to be part of the classic country music era and great memories, and we love y'all and thank all your listeners for tuning in. Thank you so much.
From the year 2012, He's a Heartache, Looking for a Place to Happen, Janie Fricky, Bluegrass Style.
Devil and just as wild. much crazy, but a little crazy's kind of nice. He's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, looking for a little action, living for the moment, not for loving. He's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, temporary satisfaction. If you try to hold on, he's gone. Well, I might as well tell someone else, I know it'll never happen to myself, not likely. But I wouldn't mind just one more night. If he wants to hold you, let it be. Don't pass up the opportunity to know him, 'cause you won't forget him all your life. But whatever you do, be wise enough not to fall in love, 'cause he's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, looking for a little action, living for the moment, not for love. Temporary satisfaction. If you try to hold on, he's gone. He's gone. He's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, looking for a little action, living for the moment, not for love. He's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, temporary satisfaction. If you try to hold on, he's gone. Well, he's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, looking for a little action, living for the moment, not for love. He's a heartache, looking for a place to happen, temporary satisfaction. If you try to hold on, he's gone. Yeah, try to hold on, he's gone. Well, if you try to hold on, he's gone.
We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
Well, that's the show. And now, here are the two bonus tracks that I promised you. Both were number one hits by Janie, and both were from 1984. First, we have Let's Stop Talking About It.
There's only time.
Finally, here's Your Heart's Not In It.
Let you hold me tight if it was only right,
but your heart's not in it.
That you'd be loving me if I gave my love to you. I'd close my eyes and I'd set my feelings.